Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles. Now, we all know that the truth will set you free. The question is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? And that's the basic question that we try to answer each week on this show, dealing with mental health issues from a more holistic perspective and a variety of topics, ranging from relationships to depression to addictions to all sorts of things that we've covered in the course of the 2 years I've been doing this show. Tonight's topic is creating and maintaining healthy relationships. My guest, Rick Hyman, who I'll be talking to in a few minutes, is a colleague and friend that I've known for quite a long time. And if you've listened to the show before, you know that I've done repeatedly shows on intimacy in relationships, starting with the definition that I use, which is on intimacy, which is intimacy is an expression of our natural desire for connection. An expression of our natural desire for connection. And surrendering into that is usually what happens when we are forming relationships. Relationships is a place that all of us live in. And what I mean by that is Sandra Ray defines relationships as something we have with everything in our lives, not just a primary relationship with another human being, but we're in relationship with the state of our health, we're in relationship with our bodies, we have a relationship with our career, a relationship with money, a relationship with our home and an environment, and that relationship exists in everything, and we tend to have either a healthy expression of that throughout all of that, or a dysfunctional relationship expressed through all of it, or we may really succeed well in one area like career while love and intimacy somehow seems to be a constant mess in our lives. So we're talking about relationships tonight. We're actually talking about coupling. We're talking about, you know, falling in love, and how do we meet somebody, how do we establish a healthy relationship, and how do we maintain a healthy relationship, how do we create a healthy relationship, the key obviously being here, a healthy relationship. Many of you listening will probably think, well, you know, I think my relationship's healthy. Maybe by the end of the show or during the show you will have some questions about that, or you may find out that you really have something healthier going on than you thought. Now, this is a live call-in show, and you're welcome to join us in this conversation or ask questions at any time. If you're local in Phoenix, the local number is 480-874-1311. That's 480-874-1311. If you're listening via the internet, as I know some of you are, the toll-free number from wherever you are in the country is 1-888-437-7660. That's 888-437-7660. The first step to me dealing with any relationship, and I know my guest is going to be talking about this, is starting with what this show often is about, is knowing yourself, being honest with yourself in terms of who you are, what you're here to do, have a real sense of what you bring to the world, what you bring to relationship, and a sense of comfort within yourself. And sometimes, very often, that starts with clients of mine who have to look at what the negative thoughts and negative beliefs are that are going on in their minds that help create the drama over and over again in one relationship or series of relationships. There's a book called Gay Relationships for Men and Women by Tina Tassina. And some of the questions she asks is you really need to look at what your mind's doing and what your beliefs are. And some of the common beliefs she outlines here, you often feel that your relationships are doomed from the beginning. You frequently have trouble choosing an appropriate partner. You do not know where to look for suitable friends and lovers. You are often afraid to make relationship commitment. You panic at the first sign of relationship trouble. You sometimes adopt unsuitable or rigid roles in relationships. I think those are common for a lot of us, and a lot of the things that most of us do to undermine and sabotage relationships come from situations like that. Whether we're gay or straight, bisexual, doesn't matter. The humanity that we bring into our relationships is very similar in a lot of ways. So with that being said, I'd like to introduce my guest. As I said earlier, he's been a friend of mine for probably about 16 years since I've been in L.A., and a colleague. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist like myself. He's Dr. Rick Hyman. He has his PhD. He has 22 years in private practice in West Hollywood in California. He works with individuals, couples, and groups. And he has certain areas of specialization in terms of relationship issues, sexual orientation issues, addiction, compulsive internet use, which we've talked about on the show in the past, and assertiveness training. And he does have some radio experience because he's had guest appearances here locally in L.A. on the Rick Dees Morning Radio Show on KISS FM and talking about issues of the day. Rick, I've been anxious to have you on the show for a long time, and I welcome you. I'm glad you're joining us tonight.
This is great. I've been really looking forward to it myself, so this is going to be a terrific experience.
Good. Anything I left out about who you are and how you want people to know you who are listening?
Well, just if anybody wants to contact me, the best way would be to call my office line, which is area code 310-659-5354.
Right, and we'll remind them about that afterwards, and at the end of the show, I'll remind people they can get in touch with me or any of my guests at TellTheTruthFaster.com.
I had one comment that I wanted to make to kind of give a global perspective on how we can gauge whether any relationship that we're in is really, quote-unquote, healthy or good for us. And that's really to reduce it down to how do we feel in the presence of this other person, you know, because that's the most valuable information. That really tells us whether, in fact, we're in our highest form in the presence of the person or not. So, you know, often I'll hear things like, you know, I'm really in love with this person. I said, well, how do you feel about it? Well, I don't really like him very much, but I'm in love. You know, and of course, it's something that doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, so that's why what I really look for is, you know, how do you see yourself in the presence of this person? Are you in your highest form? Do you feel expansive? Do you feel like you're growing and you're learning and you're open? Or are you reduced down to a very limited form of yourself?
Well, I think, and some people say, well, I get this knot in my stomach, and they misinterpret that as loving butterflies, when actually they're just really tensed up and fearful in the presence of that person.
Yeah, the inner voice is saying this is not a good person to be hanging out with.
Mm-hmm. So what would keep somebody staying in a relationship like that?
Okay, very good question. Most of the time, what we do is we are ruled by unconscious patterns, which are just based on many mechanisms that occur usually early in life. And one of the important components of psychotherapy is to be able to identify unconscious patterns, especially the ones that are not serving us well. So if we keep choosing all the wrong people, where they end disastrously, or we're in pain, or we're getting abused, the important thing is to really dig down deep, identify the patterns, and then choose out of them. That's the key to psychotherapy, is, you know,
right,
recognition, and then, of course, the choice out of them, which is a lot of hard work.
Right.
That's what we're here for.
Exactly.
You know, is to guide people to do that. And it's amazingly freeing when a person is able to say, I see one of those coming, and I'm running. You know, like, I won't even say hello, because, you know, you start to be able to then identify the people that have those characteristics and those traits, and you just know that they're basically not going to be fulfilling and rewarding relationships.
Like all of a sudden you're seeing the red flags where before they were waving at you, but you saw what you wanted to see.
Yeah, that looked so attractive previously. Now, you know, you can see much more realistically. And that usually correlates, certainly, with greater knowledge of self and an understanding of all of the things that make us who we are.
Well, with all the chaos going on in the world, I want to kind of get a little bit more global and then get back into what, you know, what we've been talking about in the last few minutes. all the chaos going on in the world, with all of the divorce, with all of the domestic violence and everything else we keep hearing, do you really think healthy relationships are possible in this day and age?
Absolutely. In fact, I feel that's the only means for the human species to survive. I think that it now behooves all of us to really dig down deep and to recognize that, you know, unless we start to band together and develop relationships, not just one-on-one, but I think as a community, as a group, you know, as a society, mm-hmm. We're going to be doomed. So I think it's hard, it's difficult in light of everything that's going on, and it's also extremely necessary for the survival of the species.
Well, in the context of the survival of the species, some people would argue that, well, we're going to talk about that argument when we get back after this break. We need to take a little station break here, and we'll be back with Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Ultra and my guest Rick Hyman. Just stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. Tonight's topic is creating and maintaining healthy relationships. My guest tonight is a friend and colleague, Rick Hyman, Dr. Rick Hyman, who's in private practice in West Hollywood in California. And Rick, before the break, you made a comment that says that in the largest sense of the word, establishing healthy relationships as a society is important for the survival of the species. And I know, and people who listen to the show, know that I deal very openly, whether we're talking about gay or straight relationships, that there are people who would jump on that and see it as proof that only heterosexual relationships that can procreate help the species survive. I want you to expand a little bit more about what you really mean about the healthy relationships as a community and as a society necessary for the survival of the species.
Okay. Well, all we have to do is to gain an anthropological perspective on our society. And we look back just a few hundred years. People did not live in isolated boxes the way we do now. People always lived in extended families. They had kinship relationships that were honoring people that were older. There was a tremendous support system in place for all people, which then correlated well with survival. Children were taken care of, infants were taken care of, everyone was taken care of. And now we've created a society, especially, I think Los Angeles is probably the quintessential example of a city where there's a lot of isolation. There are a lot of people, but people are driving alone in their cars, living alone in their apartments and condos, and there isn't a lot of interaction. And I think that creates a lot of stress and is responsible for depression and many other mental disorders to a great extent. So I think literally, you know, we have to get back to our basic nature as human beings, which is to be, we're social beings. We have to support each other, and we have to have not only primary relationships, but then extended relationships. Mm-hmm. I mean, my ideal is to bond with one other person as your primary partner, but then also to become a part of a community and to support each other in that way. And it doesn't matter, of course, if you're gay or straight or black or white, old or young. I think this is true for all people.
I knew you'd have a good answer for that, but I really wanted it to be really clearly stated because I totally agree with you. I think taking it even in another direction, the importance of relationship is demonstrating to our youth as well as to everyone else that we can cooperate and not totally into competition and judgment and all the things that create fear and separation is what breaks down a society. And I think that by people learning to live together, to play together, to communicate with one another, to listen and feel safe in the presence of one another without the judgment and fear is what will create the survival of any species in any community.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. I think it's just about honoring all of the people in society. For example, you know, there's discrimination certainly against elderly people in that they're discarded and not taken advantage of, as exists in cultures like Japanese and Chinese culture, where elders are revered, you know, and are really tapped for all of their knowledge and expertise and information and life experience.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, we really discriminate against children in that, you know, many people just dismiss them and they say, you know, just be quiet, you know, because you're only a child, when in fact, you know, they have wonderful gifts to be given to all of us.
Such a well of wisdom in most
wisdom,
of them.
Absolutely.
Because
yeah,
they're coming
from
such a more innocent place.
Sure, very non-judgmental, of course, until they learn that that's not okay, you know, and then they go from being very free and very open to being just other parts of a society that's controlling and judgmental.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying tremendously. I want to also now move into something that gets a little bit more concrete when we talk about creating and maintaining healthy relationships. And the first step is, if we're talking about primary relationship, which would be, you know, what technically might be called significant other, mate, partner, husband, wife, spouse, you know, a lot of words to describe what we're calling primary relationship, love relationship, romantic relationship, whatever. There are a lot of people who are listening who are single. And because many of us live in that society that you just described, which is in our own boxes and between TV and the internet and dark rooms and movie theaters and all the other things that keep us so isolated and separated from one another, many of us who are single find it increasingly more and more difficult to find that partner. So when you're dealing with clients and you're working with people, I know you do workshops on this, how do people find somebody? How do they find those mates?
Yeah, that's the $64,000 question. But actually, I do have some very concrete answers to that question. I would say the number one thing to do is to hang out with people who have what you want and who are interested in the same things that you are. So, you know, there's a myth in society, we say opposites attract. Well, that may be true on a purely physical or sexual level, but over the long haul, in terms of correlating with a successful relationship over time, the fact is that people that have a lot in common have a much better chance of maintaining a relationship over time. So that being said, if you love books and you love to go to book readings, then go to book readings where there are single people hanging out, you know, and if you love the beach and you love to hike, then join a hiking club or join a volleyball club or do things that at least will bring you in the company of people with minimally one common interest, and usually there are other interests that correlate closely with that one interest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think, the best way to be able to begin to be in the company of people who would be good candidates for a relationship. At least you know you have one main thing in common to start with. You've got something to talk about, you've got something to share, you've got something to pick up on. If you have a second meeting, then you can say, okay, you know, next week let's take a hike in Topanga or, you know, wherever you decide. So I think that's important. And I think you have to stay away from places that are basically going to be filled with people who are quote-unquote unconscious. I mean, if you're looking for a healthy relationship, it's probably not a good idea to go to singles bars, you know, or other places where people are drinking or under the influence. You know, if you're looking for something that's real, you're not going to necessarily find that in those places. So I think you have to be really honest with yourself and make some decisions about how you want to spend your time. Things like, you know, singles cruises is probably a good idea because just law of averages, you're going to get a wide selection of people, wide variety, and hopefully you can find, you know, a group or a few people that you both have an attraction for and have common interests.
And there are enough other activities on a cruise where alcohol is not the mainstay, although some people might differ with that. But I know that you've done some cruises where you were actually moderating workshops and stuff that actually brought people together like this.
Right, because what I found, interestingly enough, and that's one of the ways that this job was created, was a lot of people just brought all their issues onto the cruise ship. So those people that tended to isolate, even on a cruise ship with, you know, maybe 1,800 or 2,000 other people, they would still act out their same behavior patterns. So what I decided to do is break that all down, you know, and literally force people to interact, you know, and just make the environment comfortable and safe so that much more of that could occur.
The other thing I know that blocks a lot of people is blaming. In other words, well, this is the city that I live in. Everybody is fake, you know, especially they talk about L.A. like this, and I'm sure that there are people who think about other cities, you know, even Phoenix and other places. You know, it's like everyone out there is fake. Nobody's really looking for a relationship. They just want sex, and it's everyone else's fault. What do you say to a client or to someone that you're talking to that's into that negative blaming thing?
Well, it's a cop-out, you know. I mean, sure, we can make a case for just about anything that we choose to. So I think it's really important to recognize that, sure, there may be a segment of society that really is that way. However, certainly in a large metropolitan area like Los Angeles, we have enough people here and in other large cities, really any city, there's enough of an enlightened community to choose from, so it really just means digging down deep and paying attention to what you really want as your outcome. Because, mm-hmm. as you know, Stuart, we can make a case for anything we want, so I think you have to look at your goal. You know, I think you have to really affirm the following. I sincerely want to have a primary relationship with another person. You wake up every morning and just say that, and then you just decide on certain steps that will bring that about. You have to really discount any kind of tendency to have negative thoughts come in, because that'll just block a person from achieving the goal.
I think the blaming also is someone's defense mechanism, somebody who is just so afraid to get out there that they're looking for any excuse. And we're going to take another break here and continue our conversation here with Rick Hyman on creating and maintaining healthy relationships. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Tell the Truth Faster. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. Tonight's topic, creating and maintaining healthy relationships. My guest is Dr. Rick Hyman, a psychotherapist in Los Angeles. I'm reminding any of you, if you have a comment or question about anything we're discussing tonight or anything else relating to relationships, if you're in the Phoenix area, the local number is 480-874-1311. 874-1311, and if you're calling from outside the Phoenix area listening to us over the internet, the toll-free number is 1-888-437-7660. Rick, before the break, we were talking about blaming and how that becomes a defense mechanism for people that kind of keep them isolated, and that's usually a fear-based pattern. And during the break, you and I were talking about other things that also help people hide and numb and cover their insecurities and fears and stuff, and that has to do with addictions. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I think that the main reason why people will end up becoming addicted to something, whatever it is, and virtually, you know, every person in our society is probably addicted to something, even TV, is about an inability to really feel comfortable in one's own skin. You know, an inability to be able to really fully and completely understand and embrace the truth, the real feelings that are coming through. So one of the goals in psychotherapy is to help a person to accept self completely. You know, let's just take a look at what's really going on. You know, what's true for you? What's really going on? How do you really feel? And then make some decisions proactively about how to improve the quality of a person's life, as opposed to running from having to do that. And I think that's why we have, you know, such rampant alcoholism and drug addiction and addiction to food and addiction to sex and all the things that we're all very familiar.
And even like you work with also, and I've done a few shows on the internet addiction, you know, whether it's the sex porn sites or relationship sites or sex sites or just being on the internet to kind of hide out and escape and calling it research for whatever it is you're interested in. That could be something else that keeps people in their boxes and hiding out.
It's really interesting how incredibly powerful the addiction to internet use is. I mean, I've worked with straight couples, gay couples, where one of the partners is so addicted to the internet use that, you know, they'll do things like sneak out of bed in the middle of the night and just be online all night. And then, of course, the issue comes up, you know, if they're chatting with a person and even having following up that with phone calls, is that cheating? Is it not cheating? Is it being disloyal? Is it betraying the relationship? You know, obviously there are some real issues there. And I've seen a number of relationships end because one of the partners was not willing to do the work to be able to deal with the power of the addiction. So, it's really a double-edged sword. I mean, certainly the internet has brought tremendous information for all of us, but it also is a way to isolate even further, as we're saying, and to bury oneself in the sand, literally.
Mm-hmm. One of the other areas that we actually have not touched on, but it just dawned on me, has to do with parents. And partly, I'm alluding to the fact that sometimes we find relationships in our own lives difficult because we just didn't have the role models from mom and dad. We grew up in a house that was dysfunctional or abusive or just unsupportive emotionally, and there wasn't a lot of intimacy between mom and dad, or maybe one or both parents were absent most of the time. And that's usually where we learn most of what we learn. So how do you take what we grew up with and translate that into our own adult relationships?
Okay, well, that's the work of psychotherapy. I mean, that's obviously a complex question with a complex answer, but I'll attempt to simplify it. A concept that we use a lot, I'm sure, and you're very familiar with it, Stuart, is, you know, the law of familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's basically that we, as developing human beings, will attempt to recreate the environment that's most familiar to us. So I remember, you know, one of the early relationships that I was in, I was with a person who was used to a lot of chaos, and our household was just filled with chaos, and I'm used to a household that was much more quiet and, you know, people always called before they came over and so on. And basically, you know, we were both recreating the environment that we were most familiar with and most comfortable with. So it really...
But they clashed.
They clashed, right, ultimately, right. So the point is to be able to realize that sometimes when you're attempting to recreate an environment that you're familiar with, you're also almost negating the opportunity to develop a relationship that's going to work with another person. The other thing, too, is that to the extent that we have unfinished business with either one of both parents, we'll usually select a partner who's going to help us to finish that business, which is not going to correlate very well with you know, a healthy adult, mature relationship. So that's why in psychotherapy, you know, one of the main areas to focus on is to make sure that we do as much completion work with one or both parents so that we don't go out there attempting to get from, you know, a potential partner the things that we may not have received from our own parents.
Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between the nurturing that we may still be looking to get filled with that would be coming from a parental figure and the type of nurturing that we're really looking for in an adult relationship that's healthy within our own. What's the difference between those nurturings that you can delineate?
Sure, that's a very good question. Okay, so the obvious goal in psychotherapy is to help a person to feel as comfortable and safe within their own skin, their own being, so that they don't have to go outside themselves for definition or for comfort or support. Those are things that you can add to a good relationship that you've established with yourself. I think the unhealthy mechanism is to look for the other person for completion and definition and identity, you know, so we are this couple, you know, and everything is identified that way. I always like to use the term interdependent. I think a healthy relationship is one in which two people have a good sense of self, that, you know, they're choosing to be in the relationship, but they don't feel that without it, you know, they cannot survive. And I think that's where a lot of people have difficulty, because they're so needy, they're so desirous of having to be in a relationship because they feel so incomplete as a human being in the world.
So this interdependency is actually part of the healthy aspect. In other words, that they see each other as two individuals, they see themselves as an individual, and being together complements and enhances who they can be in the world, but it's not what makes them.
Yeah, I think the key word there is choice. You know, like, I am choosing to be with this other person because I feel expansive in that person's presence. You know, I feel that my growth is even more infinite than it would be as an individual.
Mm-hmm. Great. In one of the articles, we were talking during the break about Bethany Marshall, who writes an article in LA Magazine. She says, an important tool for maintaining a healthy relationship, even when times are difficult, is learning to understand that the other person's negative behaviors are a product of their personality rather than yours. And I think that's what you're saying, by being your own self and knowing where you start and you stop and they start and they stop, and that you're not one being.
Well, that's why I always emphasize in my work with people, I mean, it's really important to have your own sense of self, including your own boundaries, and then recognizing that virtually 100% of the time, anything that you're getting from any other person in the world is, by definition, all about them. It's not about you specifically. You know, so if a person is enlightened enough to recognize that, you know, then there's a tremendous opportunity to just support each other and come together, as opposed to it being a statement about who you are in the world. A person who's really secure with self is not going to be devastated if somebody says, I don't want to talk to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's important. And I think that, you know, when somebody has a really strong issue, like people, for example, who are strongly homophobic, I always like to, you know, point my finger and say, you know, of all the bits of information available in the universe, how interesting that you would choose that particular area to be so vehement about. You know, what's that? You know, how is it that this issue is such an important one for you to be excited about in a negative way?
Mm-hmm. And that approach, though, can be applied to anything that somebody's really feeling enraged about or uncomfortable with or whatever. I mean, I like the way you put it. Of all the things that are going on, why are you pinpointing this thing to go over the top about?
Yeah,
and then about homosexuality or about a race or about a geographic location that somebody's from.
I always kind of like to paraphrase Shakespeare on that one. When speaking to a fellow psychotherapist, I said, you know, he thinks the lady projects too much.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's really what you're getting when you see that kind of emotional reaction. You know, is, what is the issue for you is the question I want to answer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why sometimes I enjoy actually being on panels with people who have, you know, very strong judgments about others, you know. And, you know, sometimes when they're forced to have to face the reality of what's going on, you know, it's eye-opening for them as well. You know, and then you have situations like Jimmy Swaggart and so on, you know, where people are clearly just, you know, having a difficult time integrating their own feelings and forces, you know, so it's very easy to point fingers at others.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, we're going to take another short break here and come back and continue our discussion in our final segment with Dr. Rick Hyman and talking about creating and maintaining healthy relationships. This is Stuart Altshuler and Tell the Truth Faster. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is our final segment tonight. We're talking about creating and maintaining healthy relationships. My guest has been a friend and colleague, Rick Hyman, who's a marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles, a PhD, and private practice, and does workshops on issues around relationships and many other things. And we were talking earlier about interdependence and dependence and what's healthy and what's not healthy. And I know before that I talked about how our parents are examples and what we need to work through. The other thing is there are plenty of people out there who part of their priorities is being a parent, or they're already a parent and they're single, and finding that spouse that will integrate into the family system and be a good step-parent to their kids, or they may be single and want somebody with parents, that they may know that they're really ready for this. What do you suggest to people who are dealing with raising kids and are single and are seeking a mate?
Okay, well, that's a great question, and it's certainly a very relevant one in our society today. I would say this is a place where the internet can be an extremely valuable tool, I would say.
And a healthy one.
A healthy one, yes, absolutely. This would be a good, healthy use of the internet. Yeah, that would be to just do some searching, because there are all kinds of groups and individuals, you know, who have those interests in common, and it would definitely be something that would be a worthwhile thing to do. And, you know, the other thing to do is to contact any local groups or agencies that you're familiar with and just find out if they have any activities for either single parents and or people that are interested in being parents. But I would say probably the most efficient thing is using the internet.
Well, for some people who are not computer literate, and there are some in this day and age, I think your other idea about local groups like Parents Without Partners, or I know here in LA there's one group for gay dads called the Pop Luck Club.
Yes.
Again, there are actually single people out there who don't have kids that really are interested in looking for a partner who does have kids, that they want that parenting experience. They have a lot of love to give, and there are a lot of single parents out there who think, oh my God, I got these kids, I'm never going to find anybody who wants me with this baggage, so to speak. And yet there are plenty of people out there that find that as an added attraction to somebody that they might meet.
Yeah, and just as a follow-up to that subject, my recommendations to any individuals who have the care of children, either as parents or guardians, is to treat them with full and complete respect from a very early age. So it's very healthy to expose children to foreign languages and music. It doesn't always have to be classical music, but just as much diversity and as much educational material as possible, because young children are sponges, and the more that they're exposed to, the greater the chances of them having full and complete lives are right from the start, which would then hopefully lead to healthy relationships. So I think that, you know, it's always better to overdo it rather than to underdo it, in my opinion.
I agree with you on that. And also the issue of parents. What do you suggest to parents who are back in the dating scene in terms of integrating the dating with their family life and the kids? I mean, at what point do you introduce someone to someone you're dating, and how much do you let your kids know that you're actually going out with someone new tonight type of thing?
Okay, that's a very good question. That actually comes up quite a lot in my practice. My recommendation is for a certain period of time. Usually, I recommend about 6 months. Keep the children out of your dating behavior if possible. So, you know, if you're going to go out on a date and meet the person on some neutral site or go to the other person's residence, because, you know, children are looking to attach to adult figures. And, you know, it can be very damaging if a child attaches to someone thinking this is going to be my new daddy or my new mommy, you know, and then 2 or 3 weeks later, you know, you bring somebody else around. So it's better to let a period of time go by until you're certain that this is going to be a person who's going to be around for a while, and then it's a good idea to integrate the children. You can certainly have them meet the children, you know, like at a park or in some kind of a setting where the person isn't identified as
right.
a potential mate or partner. But it's really important to make sure that you know, not have this kind of revolving door situation with children, because it can be very damaging.
That's very important. And I think in the context of telling the truth faster, I think honesty with the kids, at most ages, kids know when you're dating. At most ages, kids know when something's going on. And better to be upfront with them and to say, you know what, I'm going out, you know, with so-and-so, and to be able to say to them, you know, I'm not hiding anything from you. I just don't want you to, you know, have to go through what you just described, Rick, you know, in some ways that the kids can understand. I don't want you to have to keep attaching to someone and then, you know, me figuring out this isn't the right person for me, so I'm not hiding anybody from you. I just really love you so much and respect you so much, I don't want you on that roller coaster.
That's great. Yeah, I'm glad that you clarified that, because that's exactly my thinking. So, yeah, that's very, very important.
I mean, kids know when they're being lied to, and kids know when information is being held from them. And usually, like we said, they're wise. And usually they know what it is that's being withheld from them, and they know, you know, what they're being lied to about, and they feel that disrespect, and it's saying something else to them about honesty in relationships, and you want to be that role model, so you need to be treating them with honesty and integrity, you know, if you want them to be doing that in their relationships.
Absolutely. Yeah, because once again, just based on the law of familiarity, they're going to identify with whatever patterns you're putting in place and with your behavior. So,
exactly.
Yeah, parents that are honest with their children would tend to have children who are going to be honest with all their peers and other relationships in their lives.
We only have a minute or two left. Is there anything I haven't asked or anything you want to tell the people about what you're involved with or anything coming up? And you want to give them that phone number again?
Yes, I'm certainly glad to receive any phone calls if somebody just has a, you know, question that they'd like to call and get a response from me on, or anyone that's interested in any of the workshops or other things I'm doing, to just call and I can send out a mailing or answer your question, you know, with a response by telephone. My number is 310-659-5354.
Great. And I'll remind everybody listening that if they didn't write that down, they still want to reach you or they want to reach me, tellthetruthfaster.com. And this show, along with every other show I've ever done practically, has been archived on there. You can listen to any other topics if you find that you're liking what you're hearing, or if you're not liking what you're hearing, I'd love to hear from you via email or the voicemail number that's listed there. Rick, I really want to thank you sincerely for taking the time and being on the show tonight. I have always respected your work and who you are, and it's been great having you join us tonight.
Oh, you're very welcome. Yes, it was great fun.
Good. And we'll have you back again.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
And for those of you listening, I just want to leave you with one other thought, and that's also from Bethany Marshall. Relationships, while appearing effortless when happily displayed, are only achieved by those who are willing to put in the work. That's how we started the show. That's how I'm going to end the show tonight. It's up to you to do the work. This is Stuart Altshuler. Tell the truth faster. Thanks for listening tonight, and we'll be on again next Tuesday night, same time. So have a good night and a good week.
The rainbow. Up high. that I heard.